This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 212 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, November 11th, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. And Marcus, I know we didn't have a show last week. I just wasn't feeling up to it just because of some things that were going on in my personal life. But hey, 1 week later, I'm feeling back to my old usual casual chipper self. And
good.
Great to be back on here talking WordPress with you, man.
Yep. Every week I feel so lucky to be a part of the community and the inner workings of the community. And it's funny that even plugins that I'm trying to find for projects and things, I'm looking in the repository and some of the new stuff is made by people we've had on the show and that I know. And it's like, wow, either they're listening to what I'm asking for or it's just an incredible coincidence, one of the two. But either way, I feel so fortunate to be in this community and here on the show with you today.
Well, we don't have a guest on the show tonight, but we have plenty to talk about regardless. So let's get everybody caught up with what's been going on in the WordPress user land
or yeah, WordPress lots ecosystem going on
within the past
two weeks. The countdown to 4.4 is on, Jeff. It's begun.
Yes, it has. Speaking of 4.4, WordPress 4.4 Beta 4 has been released today. Now, the software is still in development, so they don't recommend, and I don't recommend, you use it in a live production environment. If you have the opportunity to use it on a test site or on a local server, that's what is preferred. That way, you're not, you know, there's always that chance of things that could break. And in fact, I have a little bit of experience in this realm because I actually got daring. I installed WordPress 4.4 Beta 3 on the Tavern. Because I wanted to check out the OEmbed feature, post OEmbed feature. So I did that, and I saw something I haven't seen in, well, at this point in years, and that was the white screen of death.
Oh, boy.
And, so I see this white screen of death, and I'm wondering, okay, what happened? This is odd. I've never seen this before. And it's this white screen that tells you absolutely nothing in terms of what created it, what's going on, what caused the error, what's being done behind the scenes that maybe I could use to troubleshoot. It's just a white screen. And I'm thinking, well, this is about as useful as nothing. It's not useful at all. So as it turns out, WP Tavern, we've been using the WordPress REST API Beta 3 plugin for a long time now. And we've been, we installed it via GitHub. So we downloaded it from GitHub and manually installed it with the zip file to WordPress. Unfortunately, that means that we have not been privy to update notices as people are used to for plugins that are hosted on the WordPress.org plugin directory. So even though the plugin has been updated since then, you can't get update notices from plugins hosted on GitHub. So I do know that one of the lead developers, Ryan McHugh, wrote a blog post on the Make That Core WordPress site about, you know, he pretty much said, hey, if you are using an older version, if you're using, I think it's REST API Beta 4 or earlier, and you upgrade to WordPress 4.4, or you will see a white screen of death. I had to find that out the hard way. so there's that, and the panic
going through your mind at that time. I'm sure you would have had nothing but ridicule coming from the halls of the WordPress community with the destruction. You accidentally burned down the tavern.
Well, I tell you what, I was kind of happy that within seconds people were notifying me, "Hey, what's going on with the site?" And I'm like, "Nothing.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, nothing." It quite literally, there was nothing to see there. So it was an interesting situation, one I haven't been in for a long time. What we ended up doing was going through the FTP file, renaming the plugin directory for the WordPress REST API. That way it automatically disables it and boom, WordPress is working fine again. deleted the plugin, problem solved. But it did put me in a situation that I know a lot of users experience on an everyday basis, whether it's through an upgrade, whether it's through a plugin install, maybe even a theme, and that is the white screen of death. And I hope at some point in the future, usually what a white screen of death is, it's a fatal error, meaning something very bad has happened in WordPress. But the problem is that the white screen of death gives you no information as to what caused it. You don't know where to start troubleshooting other than sort of trying to undo the last action that you did, if you can remember it. And I hope at some point that WordPress can alleviate these white screens of death by maybe at least telling people what the fatal error is, even if they don't have like WP debug turned on. Maybe it's disabled. Usually it's disabled by default. But it's really frustrating, and I share that frustration with the users out there who generate these white screens of death and have no idea as to where to start in order to fix it.
Well, can I suggest something? First, that was dumb of you to do that without a parachute. Why'd you do that? Come on. You can't do that on the...
Because I figure, what the hell?
Oh, yeah, okay.
And we use VaultPress, so everything's backed up anyway, so I didn't have to worry about that.
All right. So anybody, and I've been one of those people that have gotten in that situation too and have to go FTP and all that other stuff. If you're going to do that, Jeff, you should have cloned it to somewhere else, to a stage site or something, exactly as it is, the tavern, and then installed 4.4 beta and then tried it.
Well, we do have a stage site. I just happened to install it first on the live site.
Well, okay.
So that's an error on my part. Yeah, everyone listening out there, you totally don't want to do what I did.
No, I'm here to talk you off the ledge if you're about to do this. So another thing is, this is not part of the, you know, the usual plugin picks of the week or whatever, but there's a plugin that's called Safe Mode that I use frequently, that's in the repository. It hasn't been updated in a while. And really, as I look at it, it's only about 400 installs, so not many people are using this, but I'm one of them that is. And what it does is, with a special link that you deem as far as your safe mode, what happens is it tries to load WordPress with no plugins and with a default theme.
So that kind of gives you, it alleviates the processes of having to disable everything and does it for you automatically.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, it helps alleviate the panic if you know, if maybe you have a bookmark of the safe modes for all of your sites or whatever, and then you can just go click that link and you're good. You know, you can find out exactly what it is or deinstall something. I do that on all my stage sites, actually, because they frequently will break down when I'm testing out different plugins that I'm evaluating. So
you're saying, let me get this straight. So you're saying that if I have this plugin installed, mm-hmm. and I generate a white screen of death, this plugin will kick in and load and automatically disable all plugins and load the default theme, so I still have access to the site?
First off, it doesn't always work. It works about 80% of the time for me. Sometimes I still end up having to go do that. But what it is you get a custom, you make your own link, you make your own custom URL that you know what it is. It's like a password or whatever, you know. And then it kicks into safe mode when you go into that link. So it loads the default theme, and then it also, you know, like a minimal theme, and then it disables all the plugins in that particular load. So then you can get back into the WP admin and at least try and disable it.
Yeah, because that, man, what a pita if you generate a white screen of death and the only way you can fix it is if you have to go through FTP and you don't have the access or the credentials necessary to log in. I mean, you're pretty much SOL.
Especially if you're working on a client site.
Right.
Then you got to call the client and go, hey, by the way, I'm a complete moron. I just totally locked up your complete website and... You know, you're probably running $10,000 in pay-per-click ads to landing pages that go to there, and right now they're going to nothing. So can I have FTP access, please? Not like I'm speaking from experience here, Jeff, but yeah, I know the issue is there. I'm teasing. That's totally happened to me.
So the moral of the story is install beta software on beta/testing sites, not on a live production site like I did, or else you'll end up with, or you could end up with problems like I did. Lesson learned. I learned the lesson the hard way. But in terms of WordPress 4.4, if you are testing it, if you're using one of the betas that have been released within the past few weeks, definitely test out 2016, which is going to be the newest default theme in WordPress. There's also responsive images, which means WordPress will automatically deliver a more appropriate sized image to users depending on a variety of conditions like screen size, viewport size, and screen resolution. So that's pretty cool. And there's also, like I said, embeds, meaning WordPress has been an OEmbed consumer for all these years. But with WordPress 4.4, WordPress turns into an OEmbed provider, a source, meaning that any other website out there that is upgraded to that is running at least WordPress 4.4 or later, you'll be able to take a URL of their post, put it into the visual editor, and this cool little excerpt of their post will show up as if it's embedded content. Your content becomes easily embeddable in WordPress. Now, I think this is very cool. Of course, there is a plugin out there that you can use to disable it if you want to. But if you start thinking about the possibilities of this easy way to share and embed content from other sites, and you start thinking about products, specific products on an e-commerce site, or maybe MP3 files, podcasts, it starts to become quite a pretty cool feature in terms of how easy it is to share content. So that's one of my sort of noteworthy favorite features of WordPress 4.4.
Not just that, but think of the different kinds of stuff that you could embed as a custom post type.
Right. Custom post types is a huge sort of wide open area of, and Marcus, I think OEmbeds, you know, WordPress becoming a source, we're going to see it used and manipulated in ways that we haven't imagined yet. And I think there's going to be some pretty cool implementations of using this OEmbed feature for content in WordPress sites.
That is going to be one of my major focuses when I start working with 4.4. You know, before, when I would get the new releases, I would just kind of see, okay, what's relevant to me in this, you know, selfishly, like everybody else does. But in this sense, I know that this is such a big release and all of the things that it does. I'm going to really study it and do some writing about the different e-commerce and business applications. And applications is, you know, italicized because you can almost make apps with something like this. So I'm going to really study 4.4 a lot, especially over the holidays, because it's going to drop right beforehand. So that'll give me a good chance to get some time off and really dive into it. So it's going to be the highlight of December for sure.
Right. And if you're a developer, you should be really excited about what WordPress 4.4 has in store for you, because it's the first phase of the REST API. It introduces term metadata, which is something developers have been wanting for a long time. In fact, the original ticket to get term metadata into WordPress core is 6 years old. So it hasn't been the easiest problem to solve, but of course now with the help of Boone Gorgeous and some of the other contributors, it's now going to be available to developers in WordPress 4.4. The WordPress title has some interesting improvements to it. And we wrote about this on the Tavern, but the old way of sort of outputting the WP title has been deprecated. So if you're a theme author out there, you definitely want to look into the new and improved and sort of new way, the default way, or suggest a way of outputting the title on WordPress themes. And of course, comments. Comments have undergone a lot of improvements in terms of performance, in terms of the classes, and of course, the visual improvement is that the comment form shows up first, and then you'll see fields for name, author, or email and website URL. But the comment part comes first, so we'll see. We'll have to see how that goes. If you're running WordPress 4.4, any of the betas, and you uncover what you believe to be a bug or an issue, please post it in the alpha/beta area of the WordPress.org support forums. I will say that in my testing on my live site, I have come across two specific WordPress plugins that do not work in WordPress 4.4. I notified the developers, and guess what? They've already been fixed. So if you're actually using any of those plugins, you'll upgrade to 4.4 and won't even notice a difference because they've already been fixed. So I've done my part.
Something. You just said the magic words. Those are the magic words for this community that I want everybody to. I'll repeat them. And I notified the developer, because once you do that and you let a developer know that something's up, I even talked to a guy in Venezuela this week that made a plugin that I wondered why he didn't do it a specific way. I finally got his contact info, dropped him a line. Lo and behold, a day later in my email comes a new zip file with the plugin updates, and they updated it in the repository. That's all you got to do, is just let somebody know that something's not quite right, and it happens.
So we don't have this story in our list of things to cover, but it's a great segue, and I think it's something that I should bring up, and that is there is an article published on CMS Critic a few days ago that talks about six ways WordPress needs to improve, and it was written in such a way to where I didn't take too kindly to it in terms of the way the suggestions and criticism was laid out. I think it was a little sloppy, and it was the criticism and things that he had mentioned were described in such a way that if I was a WordPress core developer, I'd look at the post and say, well, what do you want me to do about it? I mean, you've given me no good actionable things to take away from this and to improve it. So I wrote a counter article to his. And I kind of outline point for point things that maybe he should have said in addition to what he said, that maybe it would have been his criticism or opinions would have had more impact, and maybe they would have turned into actual fixes for WordPress. And the article, I'm not slamming the guy. I mean, I'm all for criticism of WordPress. It's needed. It's healthy. We need to continuously be criticizing WordPress to try and help it improve for everybody. But in the WordPress community and open source, especially within WordPress, WordPress core developers and contributors are in defense mode all the time, because they're always having to defend and argue against the decisions that are made that are being implemented into WordPress. And when it comes to giving constructive feedback, I think if you outline the problem, outline the steps you've taken to document the problem, and try to be part of the solution, maybe try and fix the problem, and then somewhere within that line, trying to explain everything you've done, you know, this process to try and fix the problem. That kind of gives you a good case for bringing it to a core developer, and then they can look at that and say, no, ultimately it's up to them to say yay, nay, or be for or against it. But if you provide all that information up front, then the onus is on them, the core developers, the team, to take action on it. At least you could say, hey, I tried, I did all this, instead of just making blanket statements that this sucks. It sucked in WordPress for 6 years. What have I done to do about it? Nothing, right? Except write about it and say it sucks. I mean, that's not going to get anybody anywhere.
There is a difference between trying to cut a diamond and trying to smash a diamond. You know, everybody wants to shine like a diamond, but you got to get cut first. And that's what WordPress is. It's a culmination of us just taking little cuts out of it and trying to trim it and streamline it and make it better and, you know, add additions and mounts and things like that we need to. So, you know, everybody's got their opinions. That's okay. I just wonder if they've seen, you know, the taxonomy meta that's coming and some of the other things that are coming and as far as what this release is going to do. All the time I kept hearing things like, you know, oh, should I do WordPress or Squarespace or Wix or whatever they are, or Magento, even stuff like that, Shopify. And now with this new stuff coming, I think really this is the dawning of a new era in terms of some of this internal data that's going to propel WordPress even further. I mean, you can be a critic, but be a critic about specific things and come up with a solution and be proactive rather than reactive.
Yeah, and I would say be as specific as possible. The more specific, the better, because there's just so many components and aspects to WordPress that just making generalized statements like, well, this sucks.
Okay.
What the heck? Yeah, I mean, like, okay, yeah, what, you know? Now, granted, look, you could be the most polite person ever and report an issue you have with WordPress and come up with solutions or suggestions on how things should be done. And at the end of the day, the WordPress team could look at that and they could say, no, we don't really want to do it this way, or this is why we can't do it this way. And unfortunately, in open source, you know, it reminds me of Back to the Future, where Marty McFly says, well, I just don't think I can handle that kind of rejection. Well, when some people suggest things that they feel should be in WordPress and the core team says no, either because of A, B, or C, people automatically get into full-on defense mode to the point, well, this is why the WordPress software sucks, and how do you expect us to grow market share because you don't want to implement the things I said we should implement? You're stupid. And unfortunately, that happens all too often. I see it in track tickets. I see it especially in comments and blog posts. And we got to kind of – I mean, if you get rejected, just don't go into full defense mode. You have to take a deep breath. You have to take in the feedback that the core team has given you, look at it, analyze it, and then come back with the counterpoint and sort of work hand in hand. And at the end of the day, if maybe you two have to – maybe you have to agree to disagree. But, I mean – you're not going to get anywhere by just going into full defense mode and just going on an uproar because you can't get your specific ticket or issue solved by the core team. I mean, that's not how it works.
Well, it's lack of insight, because if somebody uncovers something that's a problem for them and then they can find that it's a problem for others, then by all means, go make a plugin that solves this problem and sell it and make
or write a blog post. You know, tell the world about it.
Yeah,
because somebody who has more insight than you in terms of how the internal politics and how things are contributed to core and how all that stuff works, somebody will be able to craft a message, create a ticket, maybe even link to your post because they agree with your point or they agree that it's an issue that needs to be addressed for other users. They will take it. They will do it on your behalf and add it to WordPress. I've seen it happen. They've done it with post I've written on WP Tavern before where I say this is an issue. Somebody who's familiar with how core works creates a ticket for me, links to the post, says, yes, I'm in agreement with this. Let's see what we can do to create a solution for this. And more often times than not, the groups of people get together to create a solution and bam, it's all done. And it's a wonderful thing when it works out that way.
Yeah, or go my route and just go find somebody on Elance that can make you a plugin in like an hour and be done with it for like $20.
Make millions profit.
You want to say WordPress sucks? Oh, it sucks because it's software. It's software. It's open source software. It's not the government. Jeez. You know, I mean, it doesn't warrant that kind of complaining. If it doesn't do what you need it to do, then go make it do what you need it to do. Go, you know, strap something on in terms of a plugin and get to work.
So I figured I'd throw that out there. There's been a long conversation about back and forth on how to air grievances with WordPress, some in agreement, some in disagreement. Oh, well, but you know, I figured I'd just throw that out there.
Yeah. Or get a podcast. That's another way.
Get a podcast. And then you could, you could just vent all of your frustrations in one go. And then, you know, in one episode, and then A, you'll probably feel better, and B, you won't have anything for episode two. So
yeah. Yeah. Good luck getting to 212. There's a lot of, we're tempered in anger on this show.
So, Marcus, there are a couple of things for sale in the WordPress community. The first up is WP Remote. Now, WP Remote is a WordPress remote management service that was launched in 2009 by a company called Human Made Limited, which is a WordPress development service. Now, the service, WP Remote started as a plugin, believe it or not, called Site Monitor, and it sort of evolved over time to allow people to remotely upgrade themes, plugins, and WordPress. And in fact, to this day, the service is one of the few out there that allows you to remotely manage an unlimited amount of sites for free. I mean, so that's pretty darn cool. However, HumanMade came out with a post earlier this week. In fact, it was by Tom Wilmot, who is the co-founder and CEO of HumanMade. And he says that the team does not have the time and the resources to devote to WP Remote, so they are offering the service up for sale. Now, they do have a couple of interested buyers, and they plan on telling the world who the buyers are by the end of February 2016. And if we look at a couple of the statistics here, the service has over 18,000 users with more than 96,000 sites that are monitored, 1,850 people logged in during the past 30 days, 1,200 of those have more than five sites added to their account, and 110 of them have more than 50 sites monitored. Within the last 30 days, WP Remote was used to perform over 20,000 plugin updates, and each week between 50 and 100 new users sign up, and over half of them go on to add a site. So WP Remote is legit. The users like it. They've done surveys. The whole point of the matter is that they just don't have the time or resources to support it, to market it, to continue to make it the best it can be. So it's up for sale. And I wonder who some of the interested parties are.
I don't know, but there's a lot of those kinds of services out there that do management of multi-bulk
types. Yeah, I mean, we got Manage WP, Manage WordPress.
CMS Commander.
CMS Commander, WP Remote. Yeah, I mean, we do have plenty of them now.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I always thought I always thought that those kinds of services cut themselves a little short because they had people that were obviously rabid about the community and wanted to use that as their interface. But I never really saw any of them make content or, you know, try and embrace the community besides the service that they had.
With the exception of Manage WordPress actually does. WordPress is the exception to the rule because they have managewordpress.com and then they have managewordpress.net, which is, I think, or is it managewordpress.org? One of the two. But it's an entirely community-driven website, and it's where they have content, they have blogs, and in fact, they've been doing some excellent Ask Me Anythings with WordPress community members over there, and it's driving traffic. It's working. It's popular for them.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean that's where the eyeballs are, right? So it makes sense, and you just completely highlighted my point, which is if you're going to engage in the community, and especially with people that have multiple sites, I mean that's your bread and butter right there. The people that have more than one site and that they manage more than one site, and it calls for more content, more tutorials, help files, things like that, white papers, ebooks. Just contribute, everybody. Let's hear it.
So we'll keep tabs on that, and if we find out who the new owner is of WP Remote, we'll be sure to let you know in a future episode of WordPress Weekly. Yeah. Now, one of the other services that are available for a new owner, and this is right up your alley, Marcus, if you've got investment capital just sitting around, but there's a Pro Plugin Directory, which was created by Stephen Glebe earlier this year. In fact, it was back in the end of May, early June. Now, it's a, as you would probably guess by the name, it's a commercial WordPress commercial plugin directory where it's strictly all about commercial plugins. Now, he started off with three, and within 6 months, there were over 170 plugins listed within the directory. And sort of like how we just talked about WP Remote, he does not have the time to manage the project anymore, and he's looking to give it someone who is capable of maximizing the site's potential. Now, Glebe's original monetization strategy for the site was to build the directory, which is to get authors to list their plugins, which would in turn attract traffic, plugin buyers, and then he would monetize that with either display ads, affiliate links, and or sponsorships, which he has not yet started. So as from what I can tell, he's got 170 awesome commercial plugins on this directory, and he doesn't have any affiliate links tied to any of them. So if somebody were sort of wanting a whole listing, and it just start monetizing immediately through the affiliate links, which I seems to be the obvious thing for me to do if I had the site. It's right there, right for the taking. Now, he says that you'll have to spend about 1 to 2 hours per week managing directory, and this includes moderating submissions, comments, reviews, answering emails, responding to tweets, all that stuff that comes with a community-run directory. And he suggests that the new owner is going to have to spend some more time marketing in order to keep the project growing. So I don't know, Marcus, are you interested? Are you going to – maybe you should take it over.
I think he should just give it to me. He's not making money now. What the heck? I don't know. I'd be interested in if he just wants to give it up. I don't know. I don't know what it's worth. I mean,
never going to give you up.
If you really want my opinion on it. I mean, didn't I call for this? Didn't I say that this thing wasn't going to last when it came out, when we first talked about it in May?
I will have to go back in the records, but yeah, that's probably something you would say because that's negative.
Well, it's not negative. It's just an assessment of the marketplace. That's all it is. No, I don't think I have interest. And I'll tell you why. Because 180 is not a directory. That's just a list. Come on. I get over 100 plugins submitted to me alone every month, at least.
But if you look at the WordPress ecosystem, we have Code Canyon, which obviously is part of Envato Network. It's a marketplace for commercial plugins.
Mm-hmm.
But the WordPress plugin directory itself does not list any commercial plugins and probably never will, based on some of the comments that Matt has made.
Well, they're veiled.
Some of them are veiled. Yeah, and most of them are upsells.
Right.
I mean, upsells are supported, of course. But, I mean, so Pro Plugin Directory is one of the few, possibly if not the only, commercial plugin directories where it's all strictly for commercial plugins. So, I mean, is there any value in that?
What's the difference of me just going to Code Canyon and choosing between 10,000 plugins that are already in the directory with actual comments that you can read of people who've bought them or are asking pre-sale questions?
I don't know. I mean, the difference is Code Canyon is established, has the comments, it's there. That's where a whole bunch of plugins are. So there you go.
That's what I mean. If you're just going to be the middleman and try and be the affiliate for the giant, why not just go to the giant? The only exception to this is if he were to do like videos for every plugin and how it's used and how it works. And believe me, that thought has frequently crossed my mind. I just don't have the setup to do that.
Super in-depth reviews for these commercial plugins?
Well, I mean, I don't do super in-depth when I'm doing it, but I talk about basic functionality and what, and if I see an angle that somebody that's a developer or, you know, a commercial retail or e-commerce person, I'm always going to show that angle or talk about that angle when I can. Because so few people do when it comes to, you know, assessing and analyzing the technology of plugins. So, he didn't monetize it from the start. It's not really established that long. It's just kind of a play on a domain, and that's really all it is. It's just a domain.
So escrow is, of course, going to be used to facilitate the sale between both parties. If any of our listeners are interested in picking up Pro Plugin Directory from Stephen Glebe, you can contact him. And, of course, you can't click on anything if you're listening to the show. So be sure to head to wptavern.com. We've written an article about it, and a link to the post will be included in the show notes.
Yes.
So, Marcus, BuddyPress 2.4.0, also called Petro, and this is, you know, and BuddyPress, major versions of BuddyPress are always named after a cool pizza place. So that's kind of one of their things. But a new version of BuddyPress has been released, a major version. And one of the first things we see here for features is something called cover images. So what these are, they're images that you could put on your profile or group header. It gives you a chance to stylize them, so it's different from all the other groups and profiles out there, and it's built on the BuddyPress theme compatible API. So that means that cover images should integrate with themes in the best way and adapt to your device screen size, meaning they're responsive. There's an in-depth article, of course, on the codecs where you can learn on how to implement that. Well, there's also a member types feature, which allows developers to categorize the members of their community in any way they choose. I think we've talked about this before, and there's actually been quite a bit of excitement, especially from developers, about this feature. So you can now specify that profile fields be made available to either one, some, or none of the registered member types. Now, I don't know if you are actively using BuddyPress, mm-hmm. but that sounds yes. like a good way to organize things.
Yes.
Between registered members, if you have different groups and types of them.
Yes, and don't just think of it as a social network either. You can make this an intranet site, and those different groups can be different departments.
Aha, uh-huh. There you go. That's one way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm. So that's really a way that you can do that. Even something like a school site where you have faculty and perhaps even parents can log in, and then maybe you even have the student log in. Those are all different member types that you can have that associate completely differently in terms of their functionality and display.
And 2.4 also includes a lot of improvements to the accessibility of both the front-end templates as well as the dashboard screens. So for people with disabilities who enjoy using BBPress, they've done a lot of improvements to help you along with accessing and navigating and browsing the software. And let's see, there's over 100 different improvements. There's a new template hierarchy, and there are quite a few people who have helped contribute to this release. And in fact, I'm reading over the contributors, and I'll be doggone if our friend Jeff Matson isn't listed among the contributors for BuddyPress.
What?
Yes.
Matson, he's on a roll.
He indeed is on a roll. And I think he did that just so he can get props on WordPress Weekly. I'm almost sure of it.
You know what it is? It's his wife. It's his wife that did it. He got married. He got all domesticated, and all of a sudden, he's just rolling out the plugins.
That's right. So, who is this Pietro, by the way? I always enjoy this part of the BuddyPress release post. And so, Marino Pietro is a native of Napoli in Italy. Moved to Paris in 1999 as a waiter, but he now owns three Italian restaurants in the French capital, Chez Pietro. In Pietro, you'll find antipasta, rest of pizza pasta, good Italian fare food, tiramisu, and of course, the pizza. So it's actually a really cool Italian pizza joint in Paris. And boy, that sounds pretty damn good.
Is that what I want when I go to Paris? Yeah, I need a pizza. I guess.
Hey, what about French fries?
Oh, yeah, you got me. You got me in a corner. You're right.
By the way, speaking of BuddyPress, about 24 hours before this was released, there is a security patch released for BuddyPress 2.0. Well, actually, it was BuddyPress 2.3.5. That addresses a privilege escalation issue, which at the time the team says they have no evidence that was being taken advantage of out in the wild. So if you can't upgrade to 2.4.0 yet, you should highly recommend you upgrade to 2.3.5 or within that, whatever the latest version is in the 2.whatever branch, because it includes that security fix. Also, if you upgrade to 2.4, it has that security fix already. So not only will you be running the latest and greatest BuddyPress, you'll also be protected from that security vulnerability. So just wanted to throw that at you.
Yep. So if you can do it and you don't have any theme complications or conflicting plugins or things like that, take care of that. I do know, Jeff, that there is a BuddyPress plugin that's out there that does do the same types of member groups like that. So make sure that if you're using that now, you find a way to migrate over to the native format. That's going to work a lot better for you.
Yes. And so a little less than a month away probably a little less more than a month away now. Yeah. The first annual WordCamp US will be taking place in Philadelphia, PA. Now, the jury's still out if it's going to be blowing snow or if it'll be a nice balmy 45 degrees outside. Yeah. However, there's still more than 250 tickets available. In fact, I'll check for you right now live on the show. Okay, I'll take that back. There's more than 200 tickets available. There's exactly 206 to attend the event in person. So if you were sort of hanging back on it or you need to know the schedule or the sessions before you want to purchase your ticket, well, good news. They have published the schedule. There's going to be three tracks, two of which are going to be typical length sessions. The third track is going to be all lightning talks. So if you want to get your mind blown in rapid succession, you want to go to the lightning talk. Yep. And there's over 40 sessions just on day one alone, if you count the 30 to 45 minute sessions plus the lightning talk. So that's a lot of knowledge being shared in one day.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching the stream. Unfortunately, I can't go. But I will say, if anybody's on the fence about like, oh, maybe should I go this year or whatever? Yes, go. Even though, you know, it's in December and it's kind of weird in terms of the northern location and all that, but that's just my opinion. The highlight of my WordPress community experience has always been at WordCamps. So this is the Mecca. This is the Taj Mahal in terms of, you know, who you're going to meet and, the members of the WordPress community and the contributors and, you know, people that are automaticians. This is it. So if you have any kind of questions or you want to start some projects with people or things like that, this is definitely the event that you want to attend.
So one of the most important things you have to know if you're going to attend WordCamp US is where to get a good freaking cheesesteak. I mean, that's what one of the things Philadelphia is known for. And the WordCamp US organizing team published a post that is pretty much a guide on where to find the best cheesesteak in Philadelphia. Now, some of the team obviously lives in the Philadelphia area because they're part of putting this event on with the other members of the organization committee, and they know a thing or two about where to find the best cheesesteak. So if you're wanting to know about that, definitely check out that post. Of course, again, it will be in the show notes. Unfortunately, I won't be there this year due to some personal issues, some reasons, but I'm really looking forward to going there next year. If all goes well, I'll get my cheesesteak next year. I was really bummed out because I really wanted that cheesesteak this year. I wanted to try an authentic Philadelphia cheesesteak, but I won't be there. However, my partner in crime, Sarah Gooding, she will be back to work in her first, right after coming back from her leave of absence, she'll be right there at WordCamp US, the big grand poobah of WordCamp conferences, and she'll be bringing the entire family. So if you happen to see her, stop her, say hi, and give her some secrets about some news stories that she could write about, because, you know, I always seem to get all the secrets, so, you know, we have to spread the load here.
Yeah, and if you just want to drink some beers, find her husband, Marion.
Well, if you want to drink some beers and laugh your butt off the entire night, find her husband, Marion. That guy's one of my favorite people.
Totally. He's cool.
So, Marcus, speaking of beer, celebration, cheesesteaks, I could have all of that because WordPress has reached a pretty cool milestone. And that is, according to W3Techs, which is the website that monitors the top 10 million websites ranked by Alexa in terms of what CMS they're using, well, WordPress has now reached that point where 25% of the top 10 million websites ranked by Alexa are using WordPress. So that is no small feat. I mean, if we look back in 2011 in January, WordPress is only on 13.1% of the websites, and it slowly has gone up since then. Between 2013 and 2014, just in 1 year, it went up about 4 percentage points, and at the beginning of this year is 23.3. Now it's at actually 25. So I imagine by the time we get to the State of the Word address in a few weeks, and maybe even by the end of the year, it'll be 25.2 or 25.3, somewhere around in that area. But I mean, a quarter of the web. Now, of course, if you want to get real technical about the numbers and what we're talking about here, the web is much larger. The internet is much larger than top 10 million websites ranked by Alexa. I get that. But these are some of the largest, most influential websites out there. So the number still has merit. You know, congratulations to WordPress. In fact, Drupal and Joomla, the two other considered most popular open source content management systems, almost sort of called competitors to WordPress, only account for 4.9% of usage. So that's slightly less than a fifth of what WordPress has. And there's some
that's combined.
Yes, that's combined. And Marcus, get this. The survey shows that WordPress is still the fastest growing CMS, where every 74 seconds, a site within the top 10 million starts using WordPress. That's pretty amazing.
And every 78 seconds, somebody spams a Hello World post.
Yeah, if it takes them that long.
So how did it happen?
So we have some of those statistics there. Here are some other notable statistics that the W3Techs published, and that is WordPress is used on about 37% of English language sites. On Portuguese, Spanish, Swedish, and Turkish sites, WordPress is used between 30 and 40%, while Bengali is 51.3% and 54.4% for Bosnian. Now, only 10.6% of WordPress sites are in Chinese, with 6.9% for Korean. And I wonder, you know, China's a pretty big country, so
what are they using?
That's what I want to know. You know, what are the Chinese using for their content management system? I don't know.
Rice paper. Who knows?
I'm not even going to go there because we're probably going to get hate mail. That's probably offensive to someone. I'm sorry. I apologize in advance.
Yeah, however, or it's a $10 billion idea for a name for a platform.
Might be. About 94% of the sites surveyed use a Unix-like operating system, so I don't think anyone's really surprised about that. So probably some version of Ubuntu. However, I found this a little bit surprising in that Windows servers host 6.2% of WordPress sites, making it the most popular CMS running on Windows servers. So even though it's really low, it still makes WordPress the most popular CMS running on Windows servers, which I thought was kind of funny.
Well, when you consider the nature of the operating system and how it can actually just, you know, plop out that PHP and SQL stuff, it makes sense that would be the most preferred platform of that old antiquated server operating system. But I applaud all the developers and contributors to the community to help WordPress grow and to spread the word. And by all means, all those countries that are using 50% WordPress and all that, what's wrong with you? Leave us an iTunes review. Jeez.
So Matt Mulloway commented on the statistics with a post that said, pretty much it said 75 to go, meaning 75% of the top 10 million sites to go to get on WordPress. And the statistics say that we're within the largest opportunity for growth. There's 50% of sites that are not using any identifiable CMS. So it could be a static HTML site, or it could be some other type of website or static generation thingamajiggy that doesn't have a generator that is easily trackable. So the question is, Marcus, you know, and I was watching a video a few days ago where they talked about the dominance Flash had, where at one point, 98% of the browsers in the world supported Flash. Flash was the premier dominant thing. It was going to be what powers the web for the future. And just as quickly as that happened, everybody ditched Flash. I mean, right now we're going through a movement now where we're trying to get rid of Flash in as many ways as possible and not even support it. Now, WordPress is a different beast, but I think if during the perfect storm, if something comes together that something could eat away, something or a combination of things could eat away at WordPress's market share, where people start be spread out more with different operating systems. And I know one of the things I'm seeing gaining popularity is using static generator, static HTML websites, whether that's Jekyll or some other type of thing where they realize maybe they just want a couple pages and all that. And WordPress, being the dynamic type of content management system it is, just is too much. So they're going to WordPress and they're switching to static site generators, or they're just using static HTML outright or something to that effect. I don't know if that's going to help erode some of the market share. I don't even know what the road to 50% looks like, or 75%. And to the point that some people have made, maybe WordPress having 50% or 60%, you know, overall, maybe that's a bad thing, because now you're looking at maybe too much dominance. Maybe there's not enough different content management systems and procedures and techniques that other people are doing, you know, your competition, that inspire you to be better, you know, things to take ideas from. So on one hand, I want to see WordPress succeed and kick butt and grow to 50% market share, just to see what that's like and experience that. But on the other, I kind of have reservations about it.
I don't. I want it to grow and be huge, and I want our audience to be enormous. And I love WordPress. It's my life. It's my career. It's what I do. It's what we talk about. And even though it's just simple software, it's the thing that enables people to put food on the table, and it enables businesses to thrive and grow and hire more people and all of that. So it's a little more than software. It's a community for sure. So I'm really happy that it's growing, and I'm happy that there are that many installs happening all of the time. I'm wondering how many actual users we pick up every day, but what can I say? It's a great statistic, but it's just a little road sign along the way in terms of where we're trying to go and what we're trying to be.
Now, granted, again, I want to be specific when I say we're talking about the top 10 million sites ranked by Alexa. That's what W3 Techs is monitoring. There are millions of WordPress sites that are outside of that 10 million ranked by Alexa. Maybe they're not in that list because of traffic or whatever, but those are hugely, if not maybe more so, influential in the direction of WordPress than those top tier websites. At least I would think, or kind of hope so. Yeah, it just, you know, and I've listened to Chris Lemon. Chris Lemon has said this before, where WordPress is growing. It's growing every day, and it's growing on the fringes, meaning people who have an idea or a dream, and they've gotten to the point where maybe they've heard about WordPress, or they know just enough to where they can install WordPress, or they start working on things with WordPress.com. And one of the things that sort of struck me as a reality check, sort of a as someone that's written about and has been so in depth into WordPress for all these years, is that there are millions, there are thousands, if not millions, of people out there who still don't get what a post is. That you could put them in front of a screen in WordPress and say, write some content, write a post, and they have no idea what you're talking about. That you introduce them to WordPress, they're there, they have this dream, they install it. But because of maybe the user experience, maybe it's because of the options, the screens, the way they navigate, to where they run into a roadblock that they think, well, there's no way I'm going to be able to accomplish what it is I want to do because I can't figure this thing out. And I wonder how many people and how many dreams don't get realized because they can't make it over that first or second major hump of getting comfortable with using WordPress just to start writing and managing content.
Thousands. I would put that number on thousands of people have turned around. They've swung a UE and just for whatever reason. And it's too bad.
And I was one of them. Before I got involved with WordPress, I was one of those people, because I installed WordPress and I started messing around with themes, and I said, there is no way this is going to work. This is way too out of my league. I went back to Joomla because I was so familiar with it. I was comfortable with it. I knew what I was getting into, but it didn't quite solve the needs I was looking for. I gave WordPress a second try, and once I started to get the hang of some hooks, actions, filters, some little PHP references. And once I started to figure out how that works, that's when I got the WordPress bug. But I totally get and understand how people can use WordPress for the first time. And it's not exciting. It's not empowering. It's frustrating. And it's like a giant roadblock to them.
It is. And it's overwhelming in terms of all the plugins and things. And that's why, you know, I like contributing in the way that I do, because I can help people kind of wade through that big swamp in terms of the technology. So if you're one of those people, by the way, that are listening to this show that maybe are frustrated with WordPress and you've kind of run into roadblocks that might make you want to give up, email Jeff or myself or find us on Twitter, because I'd love to know what those hangups are.
Because yeah, Jeff C. at WPTavern.com. I'd love to hear your story of frustrations with your first time usage, first or second or third time around trying to get to grips with WordPress. I really would like to hear your pain points. And in a future episode, I'd love to share those on the show.
Yeah, I think that would be a great show for us to kind of deconstruct some of those hurdles that people have been facing.
And you remember we had Bob Dunn on of Bob WP. We've had him on the show. And I was talking to him about this a little bit. And he says, Jeff, this is a problem. He says, I deal with people on an everyday basis. This is my bread and butter. This is my living, where people do not understand posts, pages, the most common basic things that we take for granted are huge roadblocks for these people. It's a reality. He deals with this on an everyday basis.
Yeah.
So it's there. I mean, it's going on. It's happening. So, I mean, what could WordPress do to fix it? Well, I know Matt Mulloway has I think this is a quote, but he says, what got us here isn't what's going to get us there, meaning we're here at 25%, but everything we're doing now isn't going to get us to 50. So we're going to have to think about the onboarding process, the new user experience, maybe a complete revamp and rethink of the WordPress backend and tasks and workflows and everything else to that effect. We're really going to have to change the way we're doing everything, I think, but not all at once, of course, because that's not how software works. But we're going to have to transition into a way to where those roadblocks become lower or non-existent, to where people can get to grips with WordPress the first time around and feel empowered and get that bug and say, this is freaking awesome, instead of frustration and they end up going to a hosted service or platform or who knows where. Maybe they give up.
Wouldn't it be fun if WordPress for the novice, you had like an option for it, and perhaps it had like an extra layer of tutorials on it, and then also you could, not everything was available to you, so you had to kind of unlock it based on your activity and earning badges or things like that. Wouldn't that be kind of cool?
That would be kind of cool. And Marcus, I know you have mentioned before when we talked about this, in fact, it was probably within that interview with Bob Dunn, that WordPress should have a wizard. So you install WordPress for the first time and it says, what do you want to do with your website? Yep. And you say this, this, this. Well, would you like to sell things? Do you want a store? Well, okay. Well, you can install. Here's WooCommerce. Here's this. Here's that. And you go through this wizard. And by the time you get done, you have most of what you need. You got a theme that you like. You got your plugin set up. And then you can go on and configure the site that's tailored to what it is you're going to be doing. Now, at that time, I remember, Marcus, I was like, I don't know if that's going to work. But I know Automattic is actually testing this onboarding process with Jetpack, because they believe Jetpack is going to be an integral part of the onboarding process of getting of gaining this market share and being one of the first things that new users to WordPress are introduced to, especially on these web hosts that where you can install WordPress automatically. And it seems like more and more that your idea of this wizard to create this website that's sort of tailored to your use case, I think it's going to be a reality. I think you hit the nail on the head, man.
Well, I think it should be accompanied by me in a wizard suit asking you all the questions. What do you think?
Marcus the Wizard?
Yes. The WordPress Wizard. How you doing, everybody? What do you want to do?
I think that's trademarked. WordPress. Ah, probably. Darn. But I could find a way to get you like a Gandalf hat.
Okay, I'm in.
Or a staff.
I'm in, guys.
But credit where credit's due, Marcus. I think you're on the money there, and there are legitimate cases where that is being worked on as an experiment to the onboarding process to new users to WordPress.
I think that would be great for kids too to learn WordPress, as if you could you could gate certain sections off, and then okay, when you upload a featured image, then now you get the media library pass, and you can go now to changing the header or whatever, it's basic little stuff.
I think it's possible. This idea, the idea I'm thinking of is possible, but it's probably a lot of work. But what if you could turn WordPress into a game for kids where you get so many points that you unlock things like an RPG where you create a post, you create a category, you do a featured image, boom, you just unlocked something. I don't know, whatever it is, but kind of maybe gamify the whole experience. I bet you that could be cool for a certain subgroup of people.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point exactly. So it's a great idea. I hope somebody does it.
So with all that, that's about what's going on in the week of WordPress. Pretty much get you caught up on everything that's gone down.
Is that all? Jeez.
Yes. Yeah, that's all. unless you have anything to add, Marcus, we could just dive right into our plug and picks of the week.
Yeah, let's do that. So the first one, I've been noticing that there's a lot going on. Facebook's done some stuff and a couple of other ones in terms of ad blocking. And sometimes people get annoyed with some of those commercial sites and they throw up an ad block. And when they come to your site, then your ads get blocked. And that kind of stinks because you're the little guy. You deserve to get that money. Well, this plugin's called Ad Blocking Advisor. And so what it does is it just adds a little notification bar to the top of the site that just says, hey, please whitelist this website in terms of your ad blocker. So it detects an ad blocker and then it sends them a little message. So ask them to, maybe turn that on for you. So I thought that was a really nice plugin, really simple, easy to configure. And it only pops up if somebody happens to have an ad blocker on. So it's completely relevant in terms of why you're displaying it. So give it a shot. It's called Ad Blocking Advisor.
Well, that explains the messages I've been seeing.
Exactly. The next one is called Match Height. And this is a plugin that actually I used on a project very recently because I was showing excerpts of posts with featured image thumbnails on top of them. And I kept getting, depending on what the title length was, they were mismatched in terms of height. So Match Height is actually a plugin that uses the Match Height jQuery plugin, and it makes the height of all your little selected elements totally exactly equal, and that even matches up in terms of responsive as well. So you just add this element selector to only the options that you want to display, which is pretty cool. So it's called Match Height. It's probably not for the novice, but if you know your way around in terms of identifying specific sections of your site or theme, then this is for you. And finally, Jeff, friend of the show, John James Jacoby, also known as Triple J, has released about 50 plugins all at the same time. He is, as I teased him on Twitter, he is going long in the term plugin market. And by that, I'm talking about Jeff and I talk about, taxonomies and things like that. This one's called WP Term Images. And this is just one of probably 20 of these kinds of plugins that he released. And I'll talk about those in a second. It allows users to assign images to any visible category, tag, taxonomy term, any of that using the media library, and you can provide a completely customized look and feel for each kind of taxonomy. So if you're looking at a tag archive or even a category archive or the archive of a particular taxonomy term, and I'm wondering if it's even meta inside that, it shows a nice little image that's assigned to each one of those particular things. So if you have 20 tags and you use those tags frequently, you can assign an image to those tags that shows up, which is pretty cool. So you want to talk about some of these plugins that he's got going on here? This is going to blow your mind, dude.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
All right. So let's see.
This is a bonus edition of Plugin Picks of the Week.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Let me. Okay, so we got.
You've been creating and developing plugins that are single purpose, meaning they do exactly what you're supposed to do and nothing more. And a lot of people have been appreciative of that sort of ethic or that mentality of plugin development.
So here's this plugins, WP user activity. WP, I'm just going to not say the WP part because these are all WP. User groups, user profiles, user avatars, term images, term colors, term authors, term families, pretty filters, meta category, or media categories, term order. That's important. Article order, WP chosen. Don't know what that is. Term meta, WP term meta, and WP term icons. And oh man, there's so much. He's got so many plugins. I think he just released like 20 all at one time. So this is like when Warren Buffett buys stock. Isn't this a signal of something on a radar? Aren't we witnessing something if Triple J is so embedded in this?
Tune in next week.
Yeah.
To find out.
Anyway, those are my plugin picks of the week.
Fantastic. So that's going to do it for this week's episode of WordPress Weekly. We will don't have a guest on for next week, but I'll work on that. But we'll have a show next week. And then, Marcus, I think the 25th, which is, for God's sakes, it's Thanksgiving week already.
Yeah.
You and I are going to take the 25th off, correct?
If you want, I will be back home from my trip to New Hampshire. But
all right. Well, we might, depending on what's going on, we might go ahead and do a show on the 25th, and then we'll enjoy our little break. And then that'll put us into December, and by the time you know it, it'll be the end of 2015, and you and I will be able to do the coveted year in review. You know, it's kind of obligatory for end of the year shows, so we could talk about. But I actually enjoy those type of shows because you get to look back at some of the major stories and things that have happened in the WordPress community. Maybe even gives me a chance to follow up on some of the things that happened. So I look forward to doing those shows with you at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's always fun. And did we do a time capsule show last year, if I recall?
I
thought we'd predict what's going to happen.
I'll have to look back on that. I don't think we did.
Okay. Well, maybe do it this year. We'll predict some things.
Okie dokie. So
a year later, we're going to open it up. And
a year later, we're going to re-listen to it or open it up.
That's right.
So that's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on WPTavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's JeffrR0. And Marcus?
You can find me at my website, MarcusCouch.com. And I encourage you to actually go there and subscribe to my mailing list because I'm doing some kind of fun stuff where I'm talking about business and WordPress and entrepreneurship and those types of things. And I only put it out through my mailing list. Chris Lemma kind of inspired me to start doing this. So I've done it, and it doesn't appear on my blog or anywhere else. It's strictly through the mailing list. So you can do that at MarcusCouch.com and also find me on Twitter at MarcusCouch.
Awesome. So until next week, hey, we're through hump day. We got the weekend to look forward to, and we'll be back at it again next Wednesday evening. Until then, everybody, take care and stay safe.